And I never thought the next time I would preach would be in Chauvin Gospel Center, if you're here. And you are hoping to hear my husband this morning, you'll have to come back again next week and hear him. I don't do this because I think I'm a woman's lib or anything, but I do it for the Lord. The Lord has done so much for me when I was a baby, when I was preaching at him. And, you know, this fair bit of work goes into it, and I thought, do I want to do that? Do I want to go through the nervousness and the pressure, you know, and the possibility of making a mistake? And, you know, when you're up here, I mean, it looks good, but you don't know what it's like, maybe not know what it's like to be up here under pressure. But then I thought about all that the Lord has done for me. And someday I will give you my testimony of how far the Lord has brought me physically. For me to be standing here this morning without pain, able to walk, is amazing. And as I said, I was sharing my testimony some other time, but I tell you, all hope was gone for me at one point in my life, physically. I couldn't walk, I couldn't get out of bed, I was brought to the hospital not knowing if I would come out alive again. I was so weak and I was so sick. And I thank God this morning every time I get out of bed. And you should too.
Amen.
I'm able to get out of bed without pain. I'm able to go to bed without pain. I'm able to walk. I can function. I can take care of my home. And when I think of all that, I say, Lord, if I blow it, I blow it, but I'll do it for you and the saints. And that's the sign of salvation that he's given me. And salvation and eternal life. And maybe sometimes, you know, we take those things for granted. I know we do, I do. We take them for granted. When I was so sick, and that's not my sermon. When I was so sick and I couldn't walk and all that sort of thing, I would look at people and I'd say, you know what, they don't realize how good they got it. They don't realize, sadly, I have to admit, my husband used to take me up for a drive sometimes in the car. And I would see these ladies, you know, how they go, they walk, you know, and they're going full tilt, as we say, and I'd say, oh, you know, unfortunately, I had a bad attitude because they could do it. So, you know, they're going right to it, and I can't even get out of the truck. But here I am, and I thank God for that this morning. Someday I will share. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you have no hope, there is hope. I want to tell you, I felt how I felt, and I want to encourage you. There is hope. There's hope for you, Melinda. The doctors may say there's no hope, and they thought there was no hope for me. But the doctors are not the final authority.
Praise God.
God is. And we're praying for your healing. We're praying for Dixie's healing. And I'm like this before my sermon, but I think sometimes we give up. We think the doctors are the final authority, but don't we believe? If I could tell you the story of how my grandmother, she was crippled for 31 years in a wheelchair. She had heart trouble. She went to a forward one night in Howley. And some of you may remember this story in Newfoundlanders, I don't know. She was brought forward and she was anointed and healed and prayed for. And she got up out of her wheelchair and walked from that day until she died. God can still heal. He can still. Do we think he's changed? He hasn't changed, my brothers and sisters. God hasn't changed. And he's able to do it today. The same as he did years gone past. And that's not my sermon. But it's all right.
That's pretty good.
I'm sorry. I'll go home now, okay? I can leave now. Anyway, we are going to pray. I'm going to do like our little granddaughter Emily. She's 2 years old, but she says, when she wants the cover taken off a marker or something, she says, Nan, can you help me? Help me, Nan. And this is what I'm going to say to the Lord now. Lord, can you help me? I need your help. So let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I ask for your divine strength, for your help, for your anointing, for your wisdom. I pray for every person that would listen this morning. I pray that your word would go forth, Lord, wisely and capably, and that the Lord would find a lodging place in their hearts as you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are going to read this morning, first of all, from a couple of passages. The first one is John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Now, when I started researching this, I would prefer if the story is... If the passage of scripture was in one section of the Bible, that was it. But unfortunately, not unfortunately, no. But this passage of scripture and this story is in all of the four gospels. And I said, well, now which? And it's a little tiny bit different in each one. So I said, well, which one should I pick? Well, I pick this one. And it's just like we all tell the same story a little bit different, don't we? And that's what happened here in the gospel. So we're going to read John chapter 1, verse 8. If I keep looking up there, it's because in Deer Lake, we had the screen up here, and we read it off the screen. But it's up here, so I'm just going to use my Bible. Here we go. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, then Jesus, before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and the New International Version says it was worth a year's wages. How about that? And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this, for the poor have always she have with you, but me ye have not always. And we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 1 to 4. Now Jesus is in the temple here, in the temple in Jerusalem, and as far as I know, my son will be at the temple, or he's going to Jerusalem in a couple days' time. So no worries. And Jesus was answering the questions that the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees were asking him. So chapter 21 flows right into from chapter 20. So they're in the temple, and Jesus looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, the rich men. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting into their two mites, and that's less than a farthing, or less than a penny, from my research. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all of these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, has cast in all the living that she had. My title for my sermon this morning is, who's measuring, or who is measuring? Who's doing the measuring? And I know that they're very familiar passages to me, but I want us to just look at them for a few minutes. In the first scripture that we read, Mary poured expensive ointment upon Jesus. She wiped his feet with her tears, and she dried his feet with her hair. And to Judas, this was a waste. But in Jesus' measurements, it was meant to be, and it was a great ministry by Mary. And in the other section that we read, scripture we read, this poor widow, she put in two mites, which, as I said, was less than a penny. It was a lot less than what it cost for what Mary had done. Much less than all the other rich people that were there had probably put in. But in Jesus' measurements, it was valued more than all the other gifts. The difference in this scripture this morning is not in the amount of what was given. Is what matters here is who was doing the measuring. It's what Jesus thought of what was given and what was done. And that's what should matter about all that we give to Jesus and all that we do for him. And that is all that will matter in eternity, is how Jesus has measured what you've given and what you've done. It's not your opinion. We have different opinions depending on how the mood we're in that day, or how we feel when we do it. And it's not others' opinions, I would have you know. But it's what Jesus says about what you do and what you give to the Lord, do for the Lord what you give to him. They were totally opposite amounts. One costs a year's wages, and I won't ask you what you make yearly. But you can just, you know what you make yearly. And Mary gave it to Jesus. And she had no second thought about it. She poured it on his feet. She was the same Mary that sat at Jesus' feet and wept, or that just sat at Jesus' feet because she loved him. And she didn't care how much it cost, what she had to give to Jesus. She was willing to give it to Jesus because she loved him. She didn't care what the cost was. And I'm not only talking about money here this morning, but the amounts that were given, what Mary gave, and the little tiny bit that that widow gave, were of equal value to Jesus. Because he was the one, he's the one that was doing the measuring. And the same thing goes for any way that you serve the Lord, inside this church or outside this church. All that matters is who's doing the measuring. And you should remember that. And as I was preparing this sermon, I said, Lord, what can I tell the people in Shabbat? I don't know you very well. But I believe that the Lord wants you to know this morning that you may be in the category of Mary. You can give lots. You can do lots in your talents and deeds. I think of Alan over here, and he's responsible for doing the books. And when we have an annual business meeting, I have no clue what you're talking about. That's time to check yourself. No, seriously. I mean, that man is talented. To be able to do that, I have no clue what he's doing or what he's talking about. Your income, your assets, your... Oh, my goodness, I have no... I don't know. But it's good. You got to do it. But if he's doing it or anything else that you do for the Lord and you're giving to the Lord out of a heart of love for the Lord because you want to, it doesn't matter what others say or, as I said, how you feel sometimes. Jesus says it's never a waste what you've given to the Lord and what you do for the Lord, because he's the one that's measuring. And I was thinking about Michelle's boy here who was getting up playing last Sunday. I wanted to tell you, this is the same boy? Yes. Don't let the devil use your talent. Use your talent for the Lord. We watched a comedy, actually. I don't sit down and watch much TV. I almost kind of nailed me to the chair to watch a movie. But we had a comedy. There was a Christian comedian, you know. He uses his comedy to get it, he makes you laugh, then he gets in the message somewhere, and he said, you know, Hollywood and all those people are after me because they want to use my talent, if you want to call it, out there. But he's decided to use it for the Lord. And no matter what you're doing for the Lord, there's going to be criticisms and there's going to be disappointments. I'm sorry to tell you. Everybody won't pat me on the back and say, great job. No, sorry. That's not, and they may, and they should sometimes, but I'm just warning you, there will be criticisms and there will be disappointments, discouragements. But if you're ministering out of your sincere heart for the Lord, what difference what other people say?
Yeah.
What difference? Who's measuring what you do? I remember Dave Guy, I heard Dave Guy, you're in the CD. And he was over here on Friday, and that man, you know, puts a lot of work into this plan to protect. I'll give you a little pat on the back here, Dave. It's a lot of work into it, but you know, he gets a lot of criticism. He showed me yesterday on Friday all the work he's put into it. And I know Dave's not looking for any pats on the back. Dave does it because he feels it's necessary for one thing, as much as we don't feel it's necessary, most of us. I'm good at plan protecting. I wish Dave would leave me alone. Right? It's boring sometimes. You know, he's after me again. But Dave was over here and I said, Dave, you're doing a good job. He said, well, Joan, this is the way Dave puts it. Well, Joan, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. And he is, and he's doing a good job. But does everybody say, Dave, that's great, Dave, you got plan to protect? We're raw for you. Not likely. We don't. And don't worry, they won't all back on the back when you do something for the Lord. But who cares? Well, it might affect your feelings, but... And you may feel like you're in the category this morning of Mary, the poor widow. And as Mary was there and she was watching everyone else put in all these loads of money. Well, I got loads, don't bother me. I got lots more beside that. And maybe she wondered if she should even bother. You ever feel like you should, why should I even bother? To put in the little bit that I got, or to do the little bit that I can do. She wondered if, well, look at all them. It's pretty embarrassing what I got put in. And you may feel pretty embarrassing the little bit that I can do for the Lord. Why should I bother? What difference is it going to make anyway? I put in a little hat pin, and they got all this put in. What difference is it going to make? Who's going to notice? But we know who noticed. And Jesus saw her, and he saw the heart that she gave him, and the reason that she gave him. And he knew how much it cost her everything she had to live on. Most of us don't have to do that today. We give, and we still got lots to live on. Most of us, I don't know your financial situation, and I don't need to know. But she had a big heart for Jesus. And the onlookers, too, they might say, look all she gave. Poor widow. Now, what difference is that going to make? Then all she can afford to give. Then all she can do. But to Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said she'd given more than the rest of you. Because Jesus did the measuring. The size was different, but in Jesus' eyes it was quite different. It was equal. Last night, my husband, I'm a confessor. Last night, maybe even this morning, he said so, because he was sort of preparing, because I was saying, I know I'm going to preach. I'm up here, I don't think I have much to say. I don't know if you're, they like to listen to you better, you know, right? Transparent, right? But don't worry, you think those things sometimes too. So I feel a little bit ashamed to say that. In later, what I was about to preach, you know? Why should I feel, if I'm here and I feel that God is giving me a message, small as I am, I know. But I, if I'm giving it, doing it for the Lord, whether it's long or short, Jesus is measuring. And that's what I had to remember. And when then I said, and as I said earlier, I thought of all that Jesus has done for me, and I felt, that's not nice to think that way. That you got to try and measure up to your husband, right? But you know, don't we all admit that when we go to do something for the Lord, because we think we got to measure up to someone else, or maybe we won't do it. So as we start a new year, I want to ask you, every one of you, don't look at your brother, sister, your friend. I want to ask you, you're the one got to stand before God. You're responsible for what you do for the Lord. Or what you give to the Lord, I'm not criticizing you if you can't do something for the Lord. All I'm saying, and I'll get to that in a minute. Are you, every one of you, willing to let Jesus use you in any way that he can and that he wants to in 2018?
Yes.
And don't, as soon as I say that, no, I can't do anything. No, I can't do anything. Don't ask me. I know, we've been in this ministry for a long time. We know people pretty well. And I want to, in answering that question, I want to read you a couple of scriptures, if you want to bring them up. First one, I didn't give this to Linda. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with all thy might. Okay? The next one is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23-24. I want you to think about those scriptures before you answer the question that I asked. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. I'm going to read this one. I didn't write that one down. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, give that endureth with simplicity. And he that ruleth, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So we're not all called to do the same thing. I don't know if any of your gifts or your abilities are on that screen. But you have to get before the Lord. And if you are willing to say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do this year. Well, you better be open to anything he might ask you to do. It's a big question, Dave, and you better be careful. You say, yeah, I'll do anything, Lord, I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. Well, be careful, because you don't know what he's going to ask you to do. Be prepared for what he might ask you to do. He asked me to come to Chauvin. I said, well, Lord, where's Chauvin? And I got on Google, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And I said, oh my goodness, where are we going here? But we should commit yourself, your life to the Lord. You don't know what he's going to ask you to do. To you, whatever he asks you to do or give, whatever it may be, it might not seem like much. It may be inside these walls, and it may be outside these walls. And I tell you, what you do inside these walls, first of all, live the life first. The life that you're professing to be. Live it first. But what you do outside these walls, I tell you, is important. What percentage of the people in this area do we have in church this morning? The rest are on the outside. And you won't. I don't work outside the church. I work in the office, and that's not necessarily the church. When you work outside the church, you live outside the church, you go to places that I don't go, you meet people that I don't meet, and I'm going to encourage you to let the Lord use you, even if you think it's a very small way. It could be a word. Most important is your life, the life you live. People will watch the life you live more than they'll listen to the words you say, unless they are equal to each other. And don't ever think that a little thing that you can do for the Lord is too small. If God is asking you to do it, and you are able to do it. And Lord, he may be asking you, and you're able to do something that's bigger, a bigger ministry. Not all of us can get up to what the music leaders do. And I've been there, I've done that, and I tell you, unfortunately, lots of times I felt like, can't do it with the other ones. You know, and I'm learning. But whatever ministry you do, if you're doing it, if it's big, do it. Do it as for the Lord. If he's given you that ability to do it for the Lord. You might need a miracle. Despite what others think and what you think, if you're doing it for the Lord, because who's measuring in the end? Who's really measuring? And in all of our lives, we should be willing to do whatever God asks us to do, regardless of its size, in your opinion or anyone else's, or the devil's opinion. Don't worry, he'll put his little 2 cents worth in there too. We all know that what really matters is who's measuring. When we, and our first pastor, we got married in 1983, and we went into ministry right away, and our first pastor was, does anybody here, you Newfies, Newfoundlanders, know where Gray River is? You don't know where Gray River is? Oh my goodness.
Nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. We got lots of experience. And it was a little church there. The only way in was, as Newfoundlanders say, come by boat or you don't come at all. Right? And the only way in here was by boat, and it's a little small community in between two big cliffs and down on the South Coast. There's no one saved here, but they've been bringing the gospel there for several years. There was no boats, and we used to have services every night, or every Sunday night, and I had a knitting class, and so whatever you do whatever you can do to witness to people, and no one ever got saved there. They come, six, half dozen or so would come every Sunday night, singing to the top of their lungs, but no one would give their heart to the Lord. They closed the church after we left, but we've pastored in other smaller churches. We've been in isolation, and you wonder if anybody knows where you are, if they even cares where you are, what you're doing. But I tell you, small churches require just as much or more dedication as large churches. And we've pastored in churches that are ranged in number from 4 or 5. I mean, we were in Churchill Falls, Labrador, for a couple of years, and we had 4 or 5, mostly all women, that came at the church. But if you had to prod on, because who's measuring? Who's looking at the size of your congregation? Jesus is. And so the last church that we had was in Deer Lake, and an average number out on Sunday morning would be 350 or 400 people. Oh, wow. Oh, that was good. And when we resigned to work in Deer Lake, we knew we were finished that work. We had no idea what the Lord had in store. And no one could understand why we left Deer Lake. Well, you're crazy. Pastor, brand new, so many $1 million sanctuary, everything at your fingertips, three other pastors and under you. You know, the worship team is awesome. Every facility there you could want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And no one could understand why we left. And it was 7 months in waiting before we heard from Chauvin, before Chauvin came on the picture. We had not one call from a church in Newfoundland. And of course, people would say to him, oh, do you want to get that many calls? You won't be able to handle it. Oh, because he's a good preacher. And he had a good reputation. Man, he's the pastor of one of the biggest churches in Newfoundland. And we waited and waited to call it. How many people would say, you call it? You know, ask me again. No, we haven't got a call. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea. We got a house here. We got to live. We don't have no idea what we're doing. And we waited about 7 months. And when we issued a story about when we heard from Charlotte, I said, where is it? And as you know the story, my husband told me before, we went to see Bane Williams for lunch, right? And my husband said, and he told you the story, but all in case you weren't here. I'm going to a little church, but I got an interview yet. Where is it? Little place, well, you probably never heard of it before. Where is it, people? You know, we're pretty close to Bane. We tell each other pretty well whatever we want. Sean. Sean! Peter, don't sit down. Chauvin. Well, it's only just a little church, you know. But I tell you, Chauvin may be a little church, but you are doing a great work for the Lord. Who's measuring what Chauvin is doing for the Lord? Your missions giving is next to none when it comes to the rest of the country. And the dedication that I've seen here in this church is next to none. Good, anyway. It's always room for improvement. But as God saw the works, the small works that we were in and measured them, God also saw and measured the large churches that we were in. And they were of equal importance to him. Mm-hmm. Chauvin Church is as equally important to the Lord as the church that has 400 or 500 people in it. Because he's the one that's measuring. And on Judgment Day, when I stand before the Lord and when you stand before the Lord, who's going to be your judge? Who is going to judge? And we all will. We all will. And I confess to you, at the time, I thought it wouldn't be very long, but who knows, when it only gets time. I'll talk to you later, Dale. I want to be out here again for a long time. And I confess to you that when I thought I was speaking along these lines, I said, Lord, I don't know Chauvin Church, and I don't know if this is going to even apply to Chauvin Church, but I'm going to do it anyway. But God knows. And when I found out you started getting to know the ins and outs, as they say, of the church, and I saw how far you people drive to come to church, like, I said, why did they do that? Like, really? And then they had prayer meetings. Even though there's no official prayer meeting, and sometimes I think probably the normal tendency would be to say, oh, well, no prayer meeting. Okay. But you guys have your own prayer meetings. And I thought, wow, what dedication to the Lord. And God sees, I tell you, God sees those prayer meetings. And God sees the two or three or four or five that's gathered together with a sincere heart to seek the Lord. And God is measuring. It may seem small to some people, well, it's a little prayer meeting. But I tell you, a measure is big in God's eyes. And there are going to be great results in eternity. For those little prayer you call little, the widow's wife was little, but God said that's the greatest thing that she could have done, could have given. And God is not measuring like the rest of the world is measuring. He's measuring in a different way. And his opinion is all that matters. Never mind the criticisms and discouragements. And God wants to say to you this morning, I've seen your sincerity. I've seen your heart. I've seen your love for me. Your determination to serve the Lord, and what you have done and given, and what you are doing for the Lord, is not wasted. Like Judas said to me, what Mary did. What a waste. And maybe sometimes you might feel, what a waste. Like, what I've given to the Lord, all my time and energy and money I've given to the Lord, what a waste. The devil would want you to take to think that. But I tell you, it is not a waste for the Lord. And it never will be wasted. Never mind the criticisms and the discouragements. Who's measuring? Who's measuring? To you who maybe here are serving the Lord in what seems like a very small capacity. Don't feel like I might be repeating myself, but you haven't given much and you can't do much. You can't have known much to give. You wonder if it's even worse what you're going to do or what you do. You may be wondering, what's the point in the little bit that I do? It's not worth very much. I don't see any big results from what I'm doing. But if you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing your best, that's just widow did. She did her best. Wasn't very much, but she did her best. She gave it to the Lord anyway. We can't all be tormented. We can't all be up here preaching. He didn't ask us all to. Because there are other smaller jobs in our opinions that need to be done. Many. And you are doing little things inside this church and outside this church that God's measuring. And he said, it's a great thing. In comparison to other people, they may not seem like much. But God is the one that's measuring. I Googled this little, I'm going to read to you. And I want to read and encourage you with this morning. How many of you have heard the name or know of Pearl Good? G-O-O-D-D. Anybody hear of Pearl Good? I know what she did. Nobody? Never heard of a clue who I'm talking about. And then how many heard or know what Billy Graham did? Great man, hey? Did a lot for the Lord, won many souls for the Lord. Well, I have this article here, and it's written by his son, his grandson, Will Graham, on his father's ministry. And it says, Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, recalls the impact of one woman who prayed constantly for his grandfather's crusades. Her name was Pearl Good. I've got to read you things that I've got highlighted. It's not real long. In the annals of Pearl history, you won't find many mentions of a lady named Pearl Good. She never ran for a political office. She never commanded troops and never served as a CEO of a company. Pearl Good was a widowed nurse in her mid-60s living in Pasadena, California in 1949 when a young evangelist named Billy Graham came to about 10 meetings in Los Angeles at the corner of Washington and Hill Streets. The very first night of the crusade, she watched a fiery preacher, Billy Graham, and his team share the gospel. As Pearl later recounted in an interview, that night, God laid those boys on my heart as a burden. Are you open for God to lay some boys, some anybody on your heart as a burden? Anyway, God laid those boys on my heart as a burden. She joined a volunteer prayer team, but after that early crusade, Pearl became a prayer warrior for the crusades. Without anybody on my grandfather's team ever knowing, she would spend her own money to travel by Greyhound bus to wherever they were holding an event, quickly, quietly check herself into a hotel near the venue, and immediately began praying. Pearl estimated that she covered 48,000 miles by bus simply to pray for the crusades. Even later in life, when Pearl could no longer travel, or when my grandfather was preaching overseas, she would make it a point to know exactly when he would be preaching, and she would spend those hours in prayer. My grandfather said she prayed all night many nights, and I could sense the presence and power of that prayer. When she died, I felt it. We must never underestimate the power of prayer that is lifted up by wonderful saints like Pearl all around the world. But with everything going on in our world today and with all of the distractions that life throws at us, how many of us actually make the time to become a prayer warrior like Pearl? What a challenge to the rest of us, and I don't want to offend anyone, I don't know what your prayer life is like. But lots of times it's difficult to find 15 minutes in a day to spend with the Lord. Pearl Good, Billy Graham, you and me. Let's make the day, today the day we cast out the things of this world and commit to be a prayer warrior. You may not be feeling like you have a ministry as such or can do much, little or much. But let me tell you, your pastor and his wife and this church leaders, this community, this area needs your prayers. And above all else, you've got a mind to think. You can pray. Melinda, you may not be able to do a lot physically, but you can pray. And the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. I got a little thing, little ceramic thing on my counter. I got paid 50 cents for it at a yard sale one time. And what's written on it is prayer changes things. And I keep reminding myself when I pray for my boys that I don't see a lot of change. Or when I pray for something, and maybe you bring the same moment, you say, oh, not much change, but God sees every prayer. God is measuring, and God will answer. Prayer is possible. Everyone can pray. And let me tell you, prayer is powerful. Prayer is what will either make this church work, make your life work, bring souls to the Lord. Prayer is what is the bottom line, prayer. Anonymous to ministry and everything else. We have to use our hands. We can't stand on our knees day and night. There are things to do, and the work of the church has to go on. Your work has to go on. But let me tell you, you can do. You can pray. You can pray. Cliff Barrels, he was an associate with Billy Graham, he said, prayer has been the heartbeat of our mission. Billy Graham said, the three most important things you can do are pray, pray, and pray. Mm-hmm. Okay? Are you willing to commit yourself to prayer for this church in the coming year? Not saying that you haven't been. Those little prayer meetings, like I said, I'm just trying to get back on my notes now. I want to encourage you that if God has enabled you to do something great, He sees it and He's measuring. But if you haven't been able to, or you can't do something that's great, then God sees that as well. In my conclusion, maybe you're here and you say, well, I used to do a lot more than I do now. I used to do this, I used to do that, and for whatever reason, excuse me, I don't do it now. Well, God knows the reason, and you know the reason, and God knows your heart. But if you're here and there's no real legitimate reason why you're not doing what you used to do for the Lord, when you're in the church one time, you say, I used to. Well, get all off your hands, as my husband said, you know what I mean? And do it. Get at it and do it again. If you can. Maybe you're here and you're discouraged in what you're doing or wondering if it's worth it. Been there, done that. But He's measuring. And maybe you need to ask the Lord to show you what it is He would have you to do. I'm sure sorry for sniffing, but. And you may be here this morning and you've never given Jesus a chance in your life. You've never given your life to the Lord. I don't know. But if you are, Jesus loves you. You're the reason He died. You're the reason He did all that He did. He wants your life. He wants your heart. I'm going to ask the music team to come back. And we're going to sing. These altars are open. I don't know how you're used to your altar services. If you have them, you don't. But we're going to open those altars, this altar. And if you're here and you want to come to this altar for any reason at all, to rededicate your life to the Lord, or dedicate it in the first place, or to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, big or small, I'm willing. Or if I feel like I can, I know you can help me. Or even if you need any encouragement in what you've been doing for the Lord, and wondering, is it worth it? Or what's the measure of it after all? You're willing to come, and we will pray for you. Now, I want to say, brothers and sisters here on Shabbat, as I said, I've seen a lot of unity and support in this church. Don't ever let go. It's easy for us to look at one another and criticize one another. That's the easiest thing in this world to do. Criticize what someone else is doing or not doing. It's easy. It's human nature. But let's be careful how we criticize or judge one another. You look at yourself. That's all you've got to worry about. Are you being faithful to the Lord? Never mind what somebody else is doing. None of your business most of the time. But you think about you. Keep the unity and support of one another, even when someone makes mistakes, where you said, could have done that better myself. Don't let that person make mistakes and do the small things that they can do for the Lord. They're doing their best for the Lord, and besides, you're not the one that's measuring. God is the one that's measuring what they're doing. Keep your eyes and your heart open for how God will have you to reach others inside this church and outside this church. Pray for each other. That's the best you can do. Love one another. There's no measure on love and unity in the church. Love covers a multitude of sins. And when we see one brother or sister that's not what we think they should be, pray for them. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know the struggles that person has in your life. So be careful. So are we going to sing? We're going to sing. All to Jesus I surrender. And if you're not really willing to give them all, say, well, if I got time, I might. Or if I really feel like I'm really qualified, I might. God is willing to use your weaknesses. And in fact, that's the best one sometimes that he can use, the ones that feel weak. You can come if you want, or you can come out privately in your seat and say, Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. Because if you don't, you know, they say, as the hymn says, the only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And really, true happiness, the same thing goes for marriage. If you don't trust and have unity with one another, no. Same thing in your relationship with the Lord. So I'm going to pass it over to the pastor as we sing this song. Or I'll stand. But I want to stand, and you do as you feel. But open your heart to the Lord and remember that he's the one that's measuring. And he knows what you can and what you can't do. God bless you.